Well, hello, Frog fans, and welcome to the KillerFrogs.com postgame analysis. I'm Sean Fouché, and with us, as always, is the original Killer Frog, Wes Phelan. Wes, how are you doing today?
Man, Sean, I'm counting my lucky blessings. We walked out of Lawrence, Kansas with a victory. That's what I'm doing.
24-23 on a last-second missed field goal by Kansas, and the Frogs would walk away from Lawrence, Kansas with a Gary Patterson special one-point win.
Yeah. He's always saying we got to find a way to win by 1 point. By golly, we did.
I just wish it wasn't against Kansas.
Yeah, I know. I do it against Texas or A&M or anybody else, but Kansas, that doesn't look so good.
Well, I was reading some of the postgame notes, and I think Mark Cohen made this point either on Twitter or maybe in an email he sent out, but he said that Coach Patterson is 5-0 against Kansas in his career at TCU, and I'm thinking, that's probably five of the most intense, heart-medicated games I think any Frog fans have kind of gone through since Gary Patterson has been at TCU. I mean, it's like every single time we face Kansas, it comes down to the wire, and this is a team that it shouldn't happen against.
Well, that's right. You know, and for whatever reason, some teams seem to do well against others.
or do worse against others.
Or do worse against others. We've always had, in my history watching TC football, pretty good luck against Texas Tech. There were some times in there where we just seemed to have their number, even though they had a better team and probably a superior team. But for whatever reason at that time, we came out and beat them. And for some reason, Kansas seems to have our number. I'm sure people can look at Kenny Perry over there and say, well, he knows us back and forth, and he probably does to an extent. But, you know, I think there was some allusion by Patterson that, or alluded to the fact that they knew our signals. Okay, well, change them. you know, if you think they're changing them, they know them, then change your signals up. It seems like it's pretty simple to me.
Well, and the moral of this one is that TCU not only needed a win here in Kansas, but needed a convincing win to really kind of help confidence in this particular team as we kind of start to move into the tougher portion of the schedule. And I just don't see the Frogs actually getting any confidence out of this game. And that's a little bit sad because the defense, for the most part, played very well. The offense, again, sputtered, and unlike in previous games where we had at least two quarters to hang our hats on, they sputtered for all four quarters of this game.
Yeah, we had, you know, I think you and I talked about it and said, gosh, if we could just play two and a half or three quarters of football, we'd be undefeated right now. Today, or yesterday, we played well in portions of each quarter, but not for an entire quarter together, so, you know. I'm not even sure if you can string all that time together. It comes up a full quarter of playing good. I don't know. I mean, it's funny. You shake your head and pull your hair and think, my God, what is going on over there? It's got to be driving Patterson crazy. It's got to be driving the assistant coaches crazy. But, you know, they're all in it together. And so they got into this situation. They got to find a way out of it.
I agree. And outside of a few fluke plays, and we'll talk about that crazy play with Kenny Hill in a little bit. But outside of that, if the defense didn't come away with four turnovers in this game, I think Kansas wins by two scores.
Yeah, they sure might. I mean, the defense, I was getting a little concerned going into the third game of the season. We hadn't had any interceptions and really hadn't been too active, you know, as far as in the turnovers. But since then, my gosh, what we got now, we've got five interceptions.
Yeah, three of which all came in the Kansas game.
Yeah, three of which came in the Kansas game. Still, our opponents have eight on mm-hmm. us. And then, you know, we picked up a few fumbles here and there. So, I mean, again, Kansas, not a great offensive team. Fortunately, the defense played a little more inspired ball yesterday. And the offense didn't. So, it's kind of funny because, you know, going into the season, Patterson said this may be the kind of season for a little while at least that the offense needs to carry the defense. And it's the opposite's been true. I mean, it's been a team effort all the way across. Defense had to step up in a couple of games, yesterday being one of them. But the offense, I mean, we barely had 300 yards total offense, and that's way below our average. So You know, they just got to they got to figure it out and get it going. Gosh, we're averaging on the season 530 yards per game, and yesterday, well, we had 318 or 324.
Oh, I was surprised when I looked up and saw that Hicks had a 100-yard game. Yeah. Out of that effort. I mean, that was probably the highlight of the offense right there, was getting him to 100 yards. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, the defense, and this happens especially with a young defense under Gary Patterson, when you got that 4-2-5, or even if they shift it to that sort of like hybrid kind of a defense that he does, where he pulls a linebacker back in coverage or something along those lines. But even when you have that, these young guys usually take about 4 or 5 games to finally get into a rhythm, and you start seeing a lot of progress with this team. And I think we kind of hit that point with the defense, and we saw that with Kansas. But it's always been helpful to have an offense that at least manages the ball well. We had a lot of turnovers on Saturday and scores points, at least in the last couple of years under Meacham and Cumbie. But on Saturday, it was a total breakdown across the board offensively.
Oh, no, gosh, no question about that. Now, you talk about Kyle Hicks. He's been a little bit of a hero here lately. You know, so far he's got a net of 479 yards through the season. Not terrible. He's got back-to-back 100-yard games. But he's averaging 5.6 yards per carry, which is not too shabby.
No.
And, I think sometimes if the line could have blown a few better holes open for him, his yardage would be way up there. Still, it's not terrible, but it's, you know, he's helping keep the thing going. Kenny Hill, you know, our second leading rusher, and I'm glad to see him take off running. You know, he had that 18-yard touchdown scamper yesterday. That's great. I sometimes wish they'd call a few more design plays for him, design runs for him. And he's proven out to be a pretty good runner. But it's just passing. Every interception, with the exception of one that bounced off the receiver's shoulder pads and, you know, basically a tip drill interception, you know, he's still focusing on one wide receiver, and they're able to key on that and go after the ball.
Well, and that's going to be a huge problem as we start to move into the meat of the schedule, because as he starts to lock in.
If you can't pull that off against Kansas, you're sure as heck not going to put it off against Texas or Baylor and his other guys.
Or Tech. And Tech has a terrible defense. And I imagine.
Maybe Tech.
Well, no, I'm not even going to say that. I mean, if you can't pull it off against Kansas, and we saw it, you know, the week before that as well. I mean, Oklahoma was doing that. Iowa State. When you start to take a look at some of these games and you begin to see the same problem over and over and over again, I trust Cumbie in being able to work with Hill on that. But that's one thing that Hill needs to get over quickly, because as we move into this meat of the schedule, you know those defensive backs are just going to be licking their chops, because if they look up and see Kenny looking in one direction, they're going to break in that one direction, because they know he's not going to progress through his reads. He's locked in, and that's where the ball is going to go.
Yeah, they've got to find a way to get that out of him. And I don't know. I mean, we've sat up in the press box to watch, and there are some times when he's just beautiful. He checks the field. He's looking for his – working through his reads and watching the thing develop, and then makes the right call. And there are times he looks to the right, looks for whoever it is, and that's, by God, that's where the ball's going. And, you know, he's got to get over that. And I don't know if he had that same problem at A&M. Maybe he did. Maybe he did have some interceptions there as well. So I don't know. They've got to get it out of him. But, you know, I guess one way to teach him a lesson would be bench him and put Foster Sawyer in there, but no disrespect to Foster. If he'd won the starting quarterback job, he'd be in there starting right now. So
yeah, he would be, and there's a lot of questions about that, about whether or not Hill should have sat out the last couple of series there, or at least the fourth quarter in that game. And you know, I trust the coaches to make that particular decision, but it does kind of beg the question as to whether or not we're not seeing enough out of Sawyer in practice, or whether the coaches are just going to ride Kenny because that's your guy, and they're not going to make a change in the middle of the game, even after you have a multi-interception game. But you, going back to one of the things you mentioned with Hill that was kind of nice to see, was his ability to kind of take off and run. And I think going back a couple of years, back in 2013, one of the critiques that a lot of Frog fans had with Trayvon Boykin was that he was eager to take off with the ball. and not wait for a play to develop or look for an open receiver. And that was one of the complaints early on in Trayvon's quarterback career, so to speak, at TCU, was that he was eager to take off and scramble with the ball. And Kenny, I think he's the exact opposite. I think he's a bit more reserved, at least in the first few games of the season, where he would almost wait until the very absolute last second, and almost too late to even possibly take off to the run. Or even when he is scrambling and he's got an open field in front of him, he'll try to force a pass 12 yards down the field, where if he just took off, he'd easily have 10 yards on the ground. And it was nice to kind of see him a couple of times on Saturday, you know, tuck it and run it. And he's aggressive. He's strong. He should do that more often.
I agree. And he's very, I mean, I think he's a little quicker than Trevon Boykin. Maybe not as elusive, because those two are not quite the same thing. But he's a very quick runner, and he can be very effective in certain situations on designed runs, or even if he sees a play break down, he's got some yardage out there ahead of it. Go out there and get that yardage. Run for it. But you remember, going back to Boykin, what you said, Boykin started out, I mean, I'm not sure until he actually took the snap in that Iowa State game when Casey Baja got the arrest problem, that he was actually a quarterback. If you remember, he'd been a wide receiver, he'd been a running back. On Tuesday, he was a running back, he was a quarterback. And so, yeah, he didn't have a lot of coaching, and he didn't have the benefit of Sonny Comby, who seemed to be able to coach that out of him, and got his running in certain situations. So he got better as he went along in his career, and certainly, you know, it's hard to complain about what he did. He's one of our better quarterbacks ever.
Well, and that certainly did help him out as you saw him progress through the years, especially under Comby. You know, these coaches know how to coach up quarterbacks, and I think given time, Hill can be a fantastic quarterback, and we may come this time next year be singing his praises, how he's a better quarterback than Trayvon. But you know, there are some glaring things that need to be fixed, and hopefully those things can be fixed pretty quickly, because the slate coming up is going to be very unfavorable to him if those things can't be corrected. And let's be honest, it's not all about Hill. You mentioned the line, and the line, again, one of the reasons why I was kind of surprised to see Hicks have a 100-yard day was the line, again, was having problems blocking, still a lot of penalties. It's still another one of those units that has to be addressed.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not picking on number 68, but he seems to have one or two holding calls every game. I don't know. I mean, there's some in our forum that just say it's coaching. There's some that say it's the players. Maybe a combo. Let's just split it down the middle and say it's a combination of both. I don't know. It seems like we pass protect pretty well. We're not a great run blocking team, but we're missing our best lineman too until Austin Schlottman comes back at the center position or wherever they put him. You know, I think we're going to struggle a little bit more. And speaking of center yesterday, Patrick Morris performed beautifully, but he seemed to be having a trouble getting the ball back to Hill quite a few times. It was on the bouncing a lot, and you know, he certainly had his share of troubles yesterday.
Yeah, but overall, he's been a very good stand-in for Schlottman, and I think one of the things you and I spoke about, it was either on this show a few weeks back or in person, I can't remember. But when Schlottman comes back, I think one of the things they were or at least that we're hearing is that they actually may move him into the interior of the line instead of putting him back into center, which of course would certainly help out the line, but he's got to get healthy first before we think about that. But this unit right now that we've got, these guys have got to do a better job with their technique, especially when it comes to run blocking. They need to be able to blow those guys off the line better and give Hicks a better chance to make things happen.
Offensive line is a real technique position, and if you don't have good technique and footwork, you're A, putting yourself up for injury, and B, you're just, there's too many bad things can happen. So I don't know, you know, I don't know. You know, but I know that last year when Meacham came in here 2 years ago, he made sure that we had a guy who was familiar with coaching the offensive line and that type of offense. And that was a graduate assistant they got from Oklahoma State. I think he'd served out his time that he's allowed to serve, and now he's at Tarleton State. And now Coach Anderson's got it by himself. Coach Anderson is still a new offensive line coach. He's only been doing it now. I think maybe this is his third season. So it's still new to him. And I know it's hard to pack in. Who's it? Eddie Williamson was a coach before. And he coached offensive line for, what, 20-some-odd years. Hard to learn 20-plus years of offensive line coaching in 2 years. And so, anyway, I don't know if that's – I mean, I don't know the answer. I know Meacham's the next offensive lineman, and he's got to be keen to that. I'm sure he helps a little bit. So I don't know. I mean,
well, there will certainly be a lot of questions concerning the coaching staff as a postmortem at the end of this particular season. But yeah, right now it doesn't look good. But then again, who knows? They may be able to turn it around for the second half of the season.
The bright side is we're 4-2. You know, we've won a game by 1 point, and you know, we've still got 6 games to play. Now there are going to be some tough ones, but you know, if we can win our fair share of them, if we can go 4-2 in the second half of the season, then we're 8-4, and I would say all in all that wouldn't be too bad. I don't want to predict who our losses would be against. I hope we go 6-0. But
well, as you and I have pointed out, this team has the ability to do that. They have the ability to run the table. They just need to figure out how they can put together 4 quarters of solid ball. If the defense continues to progress like we've seen, the offense is the one that just needs to kind of get us over that hump. I mean, the defense will probably be able to keep us into a lot of games over the next 6, but that offense cannot sputter like it did on Saturday.
No, they've got to have some drives. They've got to score, and they can't have this 3-and-out stuff. You've got to keep the defense off the field a little bit, let them rest, and you know, you got to score, and that's the bottom line. So, you know, like I said, I trust our coaches. I think we're good top to bottom on it, but. You know, they've got some work to do in this off week.
Well, let's switch and let's talk about the other side of the ball on the defense. We have Traven Howard actually led the team with 15 tackles. Orr had 2 interceptions on the day. Nico Small was looking like he was stepping up in the role of cornerback. Tejada had a pretty decent day as well. And the line did well. Caraway actually has now come out of this game with, well, I think it was 3 sacks and now leads the team in sacks, and the defense really started to step up on Saturday.
Yeah, I think they're playing pretty well. They're starting to realize potential. I think we may be getting Julius Lewis back. Isn't that what Patterson said here recently?
Yeah, that's the scuttlebutt, so to speak.
Yeah, that would be great. That'd just be a little extra depth in there. I don't know if he'd be ready to step up and start right away, but gladly, Tejada's playing a little better. Ty Summers and Traven Howard. Howard's become a tackling machine. God, what did he have yesterday? 15 tackles?
Yeah, 15.
You know, and most of those were solo tackles. That's pretty impressive. But it also means there's too many guys breaking away and he's forced into that solo situation. So, you know, the linebackers are doing the job. What's surprising to me is that we haven't seen a lot of Sammy Douglas. The first couple of games, you know, he was in there every time. It was a 3-man rotation, a linebacker.
Yeah.
And now Douglas has kind of dropped off the charts. And I wonder if he's been hurt or what. But, you know, you can't complain about the play of Summers and Howard. But, you know, Patterson likes to rotate guys in and out.
Well, you'd like to have a solid third linebacker in there. I mean, even, it, you know, if anything else, if one of those guys needs a rest, but, you know, God forbid one of them go down on injury, you'd like to have him in there with some serious playing time before he has to go in and play as a backup. But I don't know where he's at. We haven't heard anything. Not a lot of questions have been asked from Patterson about, you know, where Douglas has gone off to, but we have seen him on special teams, and I would hate to think that they'd throw a guy on special teams who was injured.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that's one place where you're going. You really throw your body around a special team. So I would think that, you know, the chance for injury is a little bit greater there. But I don't know. Maybe just the other two guys have played so well that he just haven't put it in there much. That'd be surprising to me because he and Ty Summers are 1-2 in tackles the first couple of games. So I don't know if Howard's just played so well that he's forced Douglas into a backup role or what. But that's a good question. Maybe I'll step in for Carlos at the press conference. And see
oh, don't take Carlos's job. I mean, Patterson loves Carlos. You don't want to take that away. Well, and then we also have special teams to talk about. Nunez seems to be doing a great job with his punts. He had a career-best 56-yarder on Saturday. And Hatfield, he did miss one in this particular game, but he's 5-6, and he did nail what ended up being the game winner for us. So special teams seems to be picking it up as well.
Yeah, both of our punters are field goal specialists. One's right-footed, one's left-footed. They're both 5-6, which is not too bad. You know, Hatfield's got that 37-yarder for his long one, and Graff's got a 46-yarder, which is not too bad. Nunez right now averaging 41.8 yards per punt. That's not too bad. I'm not sure. Let's see. What's his hang time? He's keeping up there about 4.5 seconds, which is what, you know, the minimum of what they want to see. So, yeah, it's not bad. And, you know, the other teams are not advancing the ball much on special teams on this sub. On punt returns or kick returns.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, special teams are playing pretty well.
Well, we had that one series where we kind of stalled and we had a 4th and short. And I was on Twitter and I was telling people, I said, you know, punt this away. This offense is sputtering. You do not want to try to pick up this 4th and short with this particular offense. Punt it away, switch the field, and see what you get with your defense. And it was right after that he pinned him down within the right around the 5-yard line or so. In that very next play, strip the ball, get the fumble, and that leads to a 3-yard touchdown by Hicks. So that was a good punt by him, and we're starting to see a lot of good punts. And you mentioned his hang time. His hang time has increased. If you go back and see what he did in the first couple of games to what he's doing now, and so we're getting more consistency out of these guys.
Oh, that's exactly right. And he's doing a great job. And so is Cole Bunce on kickoffs. I mean, he's repeatedly put it into the end zone. Occasionally it's, you know, comes a little short, but our guys are down there to stop them before they get too far on these short kicks. But he's doing a great job of putting the ball in the end zone and forcing a touchback on the other team. So, you know, all in all, our kicking game is looking pretty good, and we don't even have our number one kicker in there yet. I don't know if Jonathan Song's going to come back. I hear that he is, but, you know, my gosh, with the way the other two guys are going, unless Song's got some incredible distance on his kicks, you know, I'm not sure why you'd replace him right now.
No, I don't know. Like you said, I think he has a better leg from what I've seen and what I've heard. But I agree with you. I think right now special teams is doing very well. Both of our kickers are progressing very well through this part of the season. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it at this point. And if it requires Song to take a little bit more time to get healthy, I'd rather have him back in 100% rather than trot him out there and try to get him something, try to get him back on the field a little too soon.
No doubt about it. You know, kicking by committee, I kind of snickered when they said they're going to do that, but so far it's working.
Absolutely. Well, this week, the Horned Frogs are off. We get a bye week this week, and then we come back, and we are going to face on the 22nd, we have the West Virginia Mountaineers up in Morgantown. Wes, what do you think about that game?
It's going to be a tough one, and we've really got to have our act together by that time. You know, the past couple times we've played up there, it's been pretty good games. We all remember that 1-1 2 years ago or 3 years ago. That was on the overtime and that 2-point conversion we had that Patterson called and we won. And, you know, that was an exciting game. And then, of course, last year's was played in the rain. It was cold. It was miserable. But we won. But, you know, it's not going to get any easier. They're what are they, 4-1 now or 5-1? Or they're 4-1, I believe. They're winning some games. They're looking pretty good.
Yeah, they are actually 4-0 at the moment.
4-0, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's worse for us.
Yeah.
They're a good team. They're a good team. And we've got to bring our A game, no doubt about it. I think a week off and a little, maybe a little week to work with some of the guys and some of these things that they can get it ironed out. Hopefully, we'll go up there and come back with a victory.
Well, and West Virginia is going to actually travel this week to Lubbock, so if you're into those kind of statistics and trying to figure out, you know, okay, this team is traveling before they play us and we're on a bye week, how is that going to help us out? You know, Lubbock is not an easy place to play. You are on the road. You're going to come back, and then you're going to have TCU at home coming off of a bye. I think that's going to help the Frogs. I don't know how much. It really just depends on how well we actually practice over the course of this next week or two. And both you and I know when we sat in those Tuesday press conferences, Coach, sometimes the week after a bye week, he is spitting nails because he doesn't like the energy the guys have at the off week. Sometimes he feels like they're off a bit. Other times he'll complain about it, and they come out and they actually blow the doors off the other team. So you never know what you're going to get with this team.
Yeah, that's for sure. Expect the unexpected with the 2016 TCU Horned Frogs. That's for sure.
Well, Wes, that does it for us tonight. And Wednesday night at the Killer Frogs Hour, we have a guest lined up. Who's that going to be?
That is going to be TCU Women's Head Basketball Coach Reagan Peebly. And looking forward to her. She just had a dynamite recruiting class last year. She got another class she's getting ready to sign here in around the first week of November. And going to get an outlook on what the 2016/17 Lady Horned Frogs are going to be looking like. So I'm excited. You know, she's kind of a female Jim Wacker. And I like her a lot. I think she's done great things here so far. And I think the best is yet to come.
She's been fantastic for TCU. And it's going to be back-to-back basketball in the Killer Frogs Hour. I like it.
Yeah, you got to get them now because once the season starts, it gets a little tougher. So, you know, they've got a little bit of time, not much, but we caught Coach Dixon at the right time last week. And then, you know, we've got Coach Peebly. She's been I tried to get her a couple of weeks ago, and she brought me back. She said, I'm actually in Australia recruiting. I can't do it this week, but keep trying. So, I send her an email every week, and she said, okay, I can do it. Then Dixon, you know, he's busy too. You heard him say last week at the show he's allowed – well, you know, on the days he's allowed to see players and recruits, so he'll try and hit 4 and 5 schools in one day. So he's on the road and trying to get as much ground covered as he possibly can, as are all his coaches. So.
Well, and that's music to all TCU basketball fans' ears. I mean, we love hearing that.
Absolutely. And he's doing a great thing. And, of course, Peebly, you know, she got one of the top women's players in the country last year, and Amber Rodriguez out of San Antonio. So, you know, looking for great things. I'd be anxious to get a report from her on how the team's looking this year.
Well, we look forward to it, and we'll see you on Wednesday. And with that, that'll conclude tonight's show. And as always, Wes, go Frogs.
Go Frogs.